the worst thing you can do is not starting. And I've seen those that are successful 5 years ago said, oh, we're so immature. And now it's incredible where they're at. And then they push you as an innovation and vendor to the limit because they're there. So it's, how can I say? I can say it's a lifestyle change, not a diet. And if you treat this as a diet, 3 month type project instead of a program, you're going to fail. Think 3 years, 5 years, where do we want to be? And having that vision for your organization will change the culture drastically.
Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 22 of the New Process Podcast. Today, we're going to explore how Interfacing's EPC supports you to rethink processes. Therefore, I'm going to talk with Scott Armstrong. Scott Armstrong is an entrepreneur, innovator, keynote speaker, and soon-to-be father. He is managing partner of Interfacing and its global subsidiaries, and he's partner of Dampton Solutions, which is an IT consulting firm. As I learned, he is an avid skier. He used to compete in mogul competitions. He has an appetite for risk in business and life. He lives by the motto, work harder, play harder. Interfacing is a pioneer in processes. It launched one of the first business process reengineering, modeling, and simulation engines back in 94. And then also one of the first web-based central repository solutions in 2000 as part of the Michael Hammer BPM movement. Interfacing was acquired by Scott and his partner 7 years ago and has grown to become one of the leading global digital twin solutions. Interfacing offers a full BPM suite from modeling, analysis, simulation to automation. And what makes Interfacing really interesting for me as an airline guy is their solutions capabilities to cover all compliance requirements within highly regulated industries like airlines, MRO, pharma, medtech, and so on. So they are very specialized also in the coverage of all QMS, GRC, EA, and BPM requirements. That's super interesting. And now let's dive right into the interview with Scott Armstrong.
And now let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome to the New Process Podcast, Scott. It's great to have you here. Finally, we made it. So we had to reschedule the session several times. And I already had the chance to have a look onto your tool. And I'm now really curious to learn more about EPC. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, but before we dive into the tool, let's start with a check-in. So what do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
You'd think that'd be a simple question, but for me, it really depends on the flight time. If it's a short flight, I prefer to be in the aisle so that I don't need to bother someone if I want to get up and go to the bathroom. But if it's a long haul flight, I prefer the window because it gives me the ability to rest my head to sleep. So it's dependent on flight and time of day.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. And what is your favorite airport?
So my favorite airport is actually an airport called in Skukuza. It's in South Africa. And it's a beautiful little airport that it's actually one just Palapa roof. It's a small airport just south of Kruger National Park. And when you land, actually the only way to get picked up is in Humvees. And as soon as you come out of the airport, you know, it was amazing to head to my hotel. I saw giraffes. I saw hyenas. I saw, you know, the most incredible animals I'd never seen in my life. And I haven't even gotten to my hotel yet. So it's really cool. It's an experience for anyone to definitely go to. And it's actually where I proposed to my wife in a treehouse there and got married by a Zulu tribe. So it's a bit of a special place as well.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. That's great. Cool. Thanks for sharing that with us. And the third check-in question is, what was the best process you've ever experienced?
I'd have to say it actually relates to airline because our company actually was involved in, I won't say the name, but the number one leading airline in Canada. We actually automate all the, call it the behind the scenes maintenance processes. So why I say this was the best process I actually experienced is because I knew the process in depth, having played a role in that engagement of analyzing it and automating it. And then I lived it real time from the point where the captain comes on and says, we have a light on, the maintenance team's going to look at it. And I could see the flow chart. Okay, maintenance team, now it's going to the next. Is he with his real time updates to me sitting in the seat? I remember telling the person next to me, okay, next they're going to do this, next they're going to do this. And I actually stepped through the process from the point of saying, we found the issue, we're missing a bolt. Okay, we need a replacement part. But since it's, you know, coming from another actual aircraft, we need maintenance clearance, which I'm like, yeah, they got to sign it off now. It's the production permit, meaning it's a legal process. Real-time sign-off to the point of, okay, now we're applying it. Now we're doing the inspection. Now we're ready to go. So it was very cool to be living my process real-time. And before it was all done manually, and now it was all automated through our system. So it's quite the experience when you know and you see a flow chart and you are like the customer side of it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's cool. Yeah, great. You already mentioned processes there, but how would you describe your relationship to processes in general?
Honestly, I've been in a process now for 20 years. So you could say my life, yeah. I've been living and breathing process for such a long time through all the different hype cycles. That's one thing you learn is what are the core basics that work and don't work. Having worked on projects and customers in every part of the world, every industry, you really get to learn the ins and outs of process and how the clients can actually benefit from it, being really the core facilitator for so many different types of programs. And I feel like it's often a shame that companies look at it as more of a control system rather, you know, that inabilitates them to actually be more agile versus as facilitating people to move faster and share and centralize and collaborate, and how this could be really the stepping stone to doing things in a more agile and more competitive way. So when you're that close to it, you see really how it's the core of every business and every major program and project. And I just wish they would collaborate more internally, but that's that, you know, classic silo and companies really not leveraging the work of other people's. But I've also seen it succeed. You know, I've seen certain organizations go through the transformation, and that's really cool when you see the culture change and the way they work change. And we have customers, you know, that are like 10 years, 15 years deep, and how they have matured and changed over time. Process, I guess, to me, is secondary in nature now because it's really, I've been in this world for so long.
That's good. Yeah. And finally, you are now the managing partner of Interfacing. So you are offering a tool which is called EPC. Mm-hmm. What does EPC stand for?
The Enterprise Process Center.
Enterprise Process Center. Okay, cool. So what is the underlying philosophy of EPC?
So you could say its roots are in process modeling, documentation, central repository, collaboration. Really what's unique about it is its object-oriented approach, meaning it's truly data-driven, and our philosophy is manage data, not documents. What companies often don't realize is that they don't understand the architecture side as much to it and the benefit that brings. So even if they're using a Visio, it's a flowchart, but it's still a file. Even a lot of the other tools, they may manage data, but they're managing, let's say, a risk or a KPI or role as an attribute to a process versus it being an object in its own, that has its own life cycle, its own breath in terms of life, and that needs to live independently, but also integrated with process. So that object-oriented approach is core to our solution offering, and moving people away from physical file management to really data management and demonstrating all the value that can bring in terms of agility and communication, collaboration, and then leveraging all the latest technologies, you know, like AI, the things you can do with that data. And just core to our philosophy is leverage not only the documentation that you have today, meaning that gets into some of the tool you saw related to our data parser that can parse and actually fragment all your current SOPs, work instruction, Visios, Excels, all the data you've built over the years to actually build out this knowledge center, but also leverage your people. So the way I truly believe such a program will work and for the long term is you can't just come up with a new team, you know, the center of excellence, and then that's it. the reality is that I've seen those teams come and go too many times because it's tied with budget. Come a new project, new team, new money, and then all of a sudden that team's gone, you're back to square one again. So when I say leverage the current data and current teams, it's you have people doing this already. I know they are in the quality group. In there's people in solutions design. There's people in compliance. That's really core to our system. And that's where we went from process to the concept of integrated management system. So that EPC, mm-hmm. Enterprise Process Center, is now integrated management system. It's much wider in scale. And the whole idea is to reuse the knowledge and people you already have doing this work today, because then it has a chance to succeed for the long term. And they're already doing it. I'm in risk management. I'm mapping processes. You're in process improvement. He's doing it for compliance and regulatory management. Why can't we share? Let's work together. And then the reality is then it becomes a facilitator for everyone else, for training, knowledge, all the added benefits. But that's really the concept of where we live and breathe, is reusing the people and the knowledge and as one central source of truth in terms of the collaboration model. So not just collaborating around a process, but the different departments who do this type of work. And that's a challenge because they need to work together, meaning they all have their own objectives and requirements. So how can you provide a platform that can facilitate and support all those different audiences? And that's actually, as you've seen, core to our tool, really how the flexibility is important, because a one size fits all won't work. That's the reality. You need different views, different data, different features based on the audience, risk versus end user versus process improvement versus IT. It's the reality. And we've really designed our tool in that approach.
Yeah, that's true. As I already said, I had the chance to look into the tool and play around a little bit with it. And it's really powerful, I would say. A lot of features there. But how does the interface look like? How should our listeners think about how does it look like?
Consider the approach that we took is that not having a designer and then not having a, call it, published. So the reason for that is, think of like Microsoft 365. You have the people who can build and manage and edit the docs, while also the people who can read, review, and find what they're looking for very easily. So that's where having a sort of single interface keeps it more simplistic in terms of for the end users. But of course, you have to hide all the complexity. When I say complexity of the features, capabilities, buttons, views that a analyst needs, but an end user just causes, call it, diverts them from what the simplicity of the information they need. So one of the things you may have seen, right, is let's talk about the process map. Forget about all the other modules and capabilities. You have three people sitting around the table with the same process in front of them, and it's in three different ways. Me as an end user, I see it as blocks, just squares, and maybe colors, because I wanted to look things to stand out in terms of simplicity. And I have nothing else but maybe the roles and the docs that I use on each and the description of the procedure of how. Note that even there, let's say for me, I don't see it as a swim lane, because as an end user, I don't like swim lanes. And even the next level of what we did was take a step further. First, we simplified the map. Then we realized that's not enough. You know, maybe me and you speak process. The reality is that about 50% of the world don't. And it's like pulling teeth to get them even to look at a process map, and being honest. So we came up with the concept of digital SOP. Okay, how about a text version that is exactly the same as the map, but the same as a Word doc that you're used to reading? That was one of the highest adoption rates for us. Mm-hmm. You have to think of end users in the way of they're trying often to find the how versus the what. They don't necessarily, if someone says, create a webinar, but you've never done it before. So that's great, create a webinar, but I don't know how. So then I end up having to go ask someone again, which defeats the whole purpose of having such a tool. So that whole concept of walking yourself through the process through your documentation is that it gives you the how in video format, very quick, very rapid access. And then you have, you know, the IT guy who has it is in a BPMN 2.0 view, and he has it, he probably has assets associated. He has metadata for all the data governance and touch points. Then you have the GRC team that are looking at it from a risk perspective, controls, regulations. But the whole idea here is that providing different flexible views based on different users. And in terms of the interface, what is unique about our tool is that, call it, we took best practices to build it on top of our API 100%. So The back end and front end is completely decoupled. And what you can do through the front end, you can do via the API direct for ease of integration for third-party systems. Do it direct. Don't even come through our tool for syncing and tons of data that we do with that. But more importantly, too, is it allows us to give major facelifts to the product quickly because it's decoupled, right? So we could actually leverage all the latest technology in the UI side that moves very quick and keeps changing. So it's something that we continue to adapt and evolve, but also it's built around, call it lessons learned of historical, just the ability to, person A wants to see thing in a map, person B doesn't. It's not enough to say company A versus B. I'm telling you, it's not enough. You need to satisfy person A versus person B within a company. So flexibility of data-driven gives us that because it's not a picture anymore. It's just a view of many data nodes, right? Coming together as a single view, but is unique based on the audience.
Yeah, but core of how you map or model the processes is BPMN 2.0 or?
The baseline of the system behind the scenes is BPMN 2.0, correct? So we can import and exchange with third-party systems, but actually it's not what we recommend because it's not that it's not well thought out and extremely powerful. It's that I've also seen when that time, back then was when they were trying to merge, call it the business and IT, single view, right? Shared view and going all the way to automation. But the farther you go into automation, the further it gets complex, the map. And the reality is then the more people need to learn and the more less lack of adoption. I'm just being honest. It's not well adopted, BPMN 2.0, from an end user perspective. So our core actually recommendation is using what we call simple BPMN. So you still stick around a world standard that everyone, like, it's, you know, broken up to five shapes, start, end, task, gateway. That's it. Don't use anything else, all the other stuff as your base. So it's aligned with a global standard that people know, but it's simplified. But again, like we talked about, you can bring in your own custom shapes to give end users a different view than your analysts.
That's what I already saw, and that definitely makes sense. Super fascinating to see how process could look different just based on the optical configuration which you put into the system. And then it's still in the background, BPMN model, but it looks completely different. That's super cool. Yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for end users, believe me.
Yeah, that's a core of the new process approach there, to have it as simple as possible. And I would even prefer to just have roles, activities, and decisions, and that's it. So no start and end events and just the adjacent processes to navigate between the different processes then. But yeah, I saw
the value. The only thing I could say, the value of the start and end, I agree, sometimes they're overused because it's a BPMN rule. You need a start and end, but is it just an extra shape, right? To your point on the map for nothing. I agree with that. You don't have to. Where I see the value of start and end is really when it interconnects with another process, because the reality is that's often not at the start and the end, you know, that's halfway through. You make a decision and that's where we normally find people's processes fall flat. It's those handoffs in the middle and they have no idea where it goes, where it comes from. And there's a decision point, but to nowhere. So that's where I see the value.
Yeah, absolutely. But I prefer to have just the adjacent up and downstream process there instead of having events and results, for example. But let's don't get too deep into this philosophical discussion there, but that's super fascinating. Cool. So let's imagine I'm a process modeler and I want to create a process in EPC. How do I proceed?
Okay, so if my recommendation, first of all, in terms of how do we create a process, it's, to your point, is what we've been pitching right now, which is extremely well adopted by companies, and I'm being very honest, is the reality is that the second you have to build a map, you have a learning curve. So if you're someone who has basic knowledge of, you know, mapping in any tool, then very easy to use our solution, right? Call it using standard drag and drop and all that. There's also some bells and whistles of sequencing and auto layout and all these types of things. But I wouldn't say that's so innovative in terms of our tool versus another. What I see more is simplifying it. Again, we're trying to get more people adopting process. So the call it the core process modelers, they're pretty easy. They're used to using mapping softwares. So what about those that aren't? And that's where, you know, we bring in the concept of, we have what's called a quick form mapping, which is there is no process map and you just simply add task one, task two, task three, reorder them. You know, I do this, then I do that, then I do I approve it? Do I reject it? So you're just fill in a step-by-step sheet and then reorder things, and it builds the map automatically. So they can visualize, but they don't have to drag and drop anything. They don't have to understand really the process, but it gives a good visual. But that's a good way to get more people documenting their processes. They understand what they do. They understand how they do it, so they can put procedural stuff, but they don't understand the concept of process maps. That's a good tool. But the number one way that we've been with our clients have adopted and seen huge results is they're using our document process mining tool that actually mines, like I mentioned to you earlier, unstructured data. We also have the concept of doing a structured form that then can be processed and parsed. And it's not only for creation, but update. So now the clients just distribute Word docs. Everyone knows in the company how to use Word or an Excel or Word either. And then they just fill that in and they email it back and the system consumes it automatically and either creates an entire process map with all the roles, with all the systems. If you want to put data, we have some companies that are collecting times, average time to do this, to do that, procedures, rules, regulations, whatever it may be. That is the, even Visio, not everyone has access to or understands. But Word and Excel, I'm telling you that, and huge success. Because now you truly have everyone in the company who can manage their content and keep it to date. At the end of the day, the end users consume it via the web portal and raise change requests and all this. But it's been a huge value, and especially in working in a remote world where people aren't around a whiteboard anymore, running workshops in one office. They're distributed all around the world at home. So how can I collect all this information very easily without having to run all these interviews and workshops? And this is a great way. It really jumpstarts the project. And we have companies even using it for, then our tool can generate a book with the current. They update it and then bring it back up again. You know, like you've taken all the resistance out of the way of learning anything and then gaining all the values, which, as we know, once it's in there, all the reporting, all the analytics, all the end user collaboration, feedback loops, improvement side of it. So if you can get rid of that, oh, it's too much heavy lifting to do this, you're in a big step ahead of your competition.
Yeah, that's super fascinating. I saw how this works. And I think what we did for the other tools I already interviewed here is to publish a video afterwards where it is demonstrated how to map processes. So maybe we can create something for EPC as well, where you show how the different ways of how to create process models and the normal way by drag and drop modeling the process. I think that's easy to understand for the listeners, but by showcasing one of the other ways you just mentioned, or maybe you have already a video which we can then link, that's super fascinating. You, as listeners out there, definitely have to see that, because that's quite interesting how EPC is doing that.
Happy cool, to share thanks. Some videos. And, now, and just Mirko just mentioned, we do have in the community site over 50 to 100 videos on all these topics. So happy to share some specific ones. And just to mention too, even on the standard drag and drop, what's unique about our tool is we have auto swim lane generation. So some people don't like mapping into swim lane. They like mapping in what's like low chart or flat map view. And then the system can generate the swim lane view automatically as well. So the user has the option. But if they want to map in swim lane, they can. And as you know, it auto-adopt all the relationships of what is defined in those lanes. So happy to share some videos for you.
That's cool. Yeah, that's something we'll put into the show notes and then the listeners can directly open up the videos there. That's cool. Great. And but now the other way around. So imagine I'm a normal user of the tool, an employee who wants to learn more about how to perform a specific task. How do I proceed as an employee there? How do I get the information that I need?
Got it. So number one thing I would recommend for adoption is putting this into places that you work. So that's something maybe I would highly promote, meaning if you work in a CRM all day or an ERP, there's no reason, because in our tool, every object is a unique URL. So you could actually point to or embed these things in locations you already work. You can open the process directly in your CRM. That's the first thing. Put it accessible where people already do their work and go all the time. So it limits the number of clicks to access information. I need to create a new account in SAP. I click pop up exactly the process and procedure on how. That's the number one. Second is when you do a log into our system, it's a full portal, right? So meaning, first of all, you can embed this portal into third-party portals like SharePoint or others you may have in-house. But it's the first thing that comes in when the user lands is, you know, my EPC page, which is really a customizable view of specific to that person based on their roles in the company. Is my documents, my processes, tasks, my risks, whatever it may be, my performance. This way, they don't need to, again, go through thousands of processes to find what they're looking for. They already have everything what they use, call it 80% of the time based on their role in the company, straight from the homepage that they can open and download. And it's not just processes, it's also documents, because you don't even want to have to navigate to a process to open a doc. You want the direct document from your home. Save clicks, again, if you want adoption. Then the other, of course, is, well, I don't know where what I'm looking for is. So then you have a classic challenge of any type of knowledge management tool of ease of finding things. So this, we have two ways. Obviously, we support full text search, similar to Google, right? Where it's not only searching the name of your tasks, your processes, documents, but also all of the metadata, meaning it's custom attributes. You might have tagged which country this applies to, A versus B, based on the product, A versus B. So you can feed the system more information, like Excel. Think of an Excel, right? Of filtering based on content. So it's not only is it full text search, which may hit you a lot of results. Then you want to reduce that content based on specific attributes of the content. And then, so we support that, all the metadata driven filtering like Excel, very easy to use. And then it also is inside of your files, indexes all the content. So if you're not sure what you're looking for, it'll actually pick up and highlight everywhere it's found at. Something that is a unique in our tool is doing this, called it the challenge like of SharePoint, of finding a doc. Think of the same problem when you're trying to find a process, right? When you have thousands built out. Is, you know, somewhat where it is. I know it's in finance, or I know it's somewhere in AP or in sales, but I don't know exactly what folder this document sits. It's the same problem in process. So what we have is a feature called it current level and below. So what it does is, as you navigate the hierarchy tree of your process or folder structure, it passes that as a filter automatically, but you can stop at any level and then filter based on criteria, like I was mentioning. So I know it's somewhere in accounts payable. So I've gone down two levels, but I have no idea where. Then I start search by the name, search by an attribute, by the role, by. So that's nice, because it's like the best of both worlds of folder navigation, traditional, and metadata driven search, two together in one. That's probably the most popular way people search, by the way, and find things. And then the last thing I would say is embedding it inside the content. So like Wikipedia, that's what people are used to, right? You search for something, But in our tool, you can reuse objects not only at the object level, but inside of all the rich text in the content. I can link a document, a role, an asset, a glossary of terms, and then hover over it. So I don't need to go to multiple places, and it'll actually do like Wikipedia pop up, give me what is the acronym and what is the definition, the term. It's another big way to not only bring information together, but then how the end user consumes it. They work off of, you know, one place and can see a consolidated view.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you very much for the explanation there. So let's leave all the technical details a little bit and move to a more human-oriented topic, so the new process principles. And there I would like to know, how does EPC support to foster the development of the people in the process?
Development of the people to me is, how are you developing them to actually adopt this process, right? Meaning the people behind it. So it's great drawing a picture, right? It's great documenting things. But the reality is, if your people aren't adopting this in the company, you're no better off. You're doing it simply for compliance purposes, which, by the way, is critical, though, for the compliance side of the house. So within our tool, what we've done here is twofold. One, everyone talks about all it review and approval cycles. That's on the governance side of pre-publishing of content. Great. But what you're missing is the last step, onboarding your people. Like, it's great. You went through all this hassle of getting accurate and improved information, and you forgot about the people that matter, the people that do the work. So it's not enough to just say, this is available. You know, so yes, the system communicates change automatically. We'll send out the notification. But then we saw that as a shortcoming. That doesn't mean they read it, they understand it. It's just you told them there's something new. So the next level is, okay, we have a feature called confirmations. This forces end users now to play a part in the lifecycle. So this is, they have to confirm that they read, understand, and they can highlight exactly what changed from previous version. So it's like an approver, but I'm reviewing and understanding, so I don't need to reread a whole doc of 200 pages. I don't need to reread a whole process. Just show me, you know, I've been here 20 years. I could highlight what changed. Oh, I see, this is what I need to do now. The part of the procedure, part of the process. It may not be process. Sometimes it's just the procedure changed. Mm-hmm. And now you have full circle, right? That I am accountable for signing off that I read and understand it. It's that level of granularity, believe me, that matters to get your people. The second is you could go a step further and then actually embed custom trainings on each specific process. So, because then you say, okay, you confirm that you read and understand it, but did you really? Right? So how can I ensure that Mirko knows his new process? How about embedding a custom survey that he must take and must even pass? And then how this integrates is with our whole training management module, so that when people are onboarded in the company, automatically it builds their whole training program, but with specific dates based on their roles, with all the different tests and trainings, videos and things they must undergo. And if they switch roles, same thing. Okay, Mirko is already in this role in this country. You know, so it automatically recognizes the trainings and that you've already taken, and then two, builds up your new ones, because now you have new processes, new procedures. So it's doing the delta gap, and the system manages all of this for you. So it's tying in, not like today, the problem again of that broken world, you have the training group and you have the documentation or improvement group. But they need to work together, because the reality is training should be on your processes, procedures. That's another big gap we've recognized in companies' collaboration. So we brought these two things together.
Yeah, that's cool. So I think it was a few episodes ago when I talked to Christoph Bunker. He's a process architect for warehouse processes. And there we also talked about, how do you train your people? And this would have been a really cool feature to have it in the tool. So not just publish the processes in the tool, but also get support from the tool for the training, like you just said. But that's a specific additional training module, or is this like having this survey, quiz, test thing also part of EPC?
It's a part of our platform. It's our own application, our own IP, but it's another module. So we have many modules, as you've seen. There's about 20 in total, about approximately. So
wow, yeah.
So there, it's you can, powerful. It all depends on the maturity of the company and how we can add more as the company grows. So that gets more into our QMS applications and beyond the documentation. Where does it go from then? Well, audit consumes it. We have a module that automates audits, CAPAs, corrective and preventive action planning, management review. All these things are all integrated into the documentation, which, as you've seen, the regulatory intelligence, risk management, control management. So processes just at the core, but the reality is, like I mentioned, in an integrated management system, the whole idea here is to leverage the knowledge work of all these different teams into a central repository.
So I think that's the first time that I heard about a feature like this from a BPM tool vendor. Yeah. And that's why I'm really curious now with regards to the next question. So how does EPT support to design the cooperation in and on the process to meet people's needs?
Here we talk about maybe two concepts. One is, okay, well, how do you ensure that, right, exactly it's aligned with their needs and their wants? Because, right, there's both sides to that. There's, first of all, the tool has its own collaboration form embedded within it. So that's the ability to collaborate around a specific process, but not just at the granularity level of the process. They can really get down to even the specific task or document or role. So you can get more specific to raising change requests and improvements and collaborating around that. But if you really want to get an adoption, one of the nice features that we've added is it's integrated with Teams. Everyone works with Teams, or 90% of the world, let's say. So again, where I talked to you about putting information where they work today, they don't need to go to our tool. Automatically, I get a message in Teams. I have the process there. I can view, or I have the change request, the comment. I can immediately reply and collaborate dynamically around all the documentation, but all through Teams, which is very powerful. So you talk about how do we ensure that it meets their needs? It's collaboration. Give people a voice and a place to do it. And you'd be surprised, they have good insight. I'm telling you, the biggest and most successful companies that we've seen in terms of process improvement aren't doing things like in-depth analysis and simulation. I saw that, you know, 15 years ago, that traditional like manufacturing floor doing design and analysis. In today's digital world, that's too slow. There's no time, right? Like you have to be so agile and fast. Get the information, implement improvements, get information, iterative approach, constant. It's agile. It's where we are today. It's a reality of a digital world. So they need to be able to have a place to be open, and you'd be surprised at the input they have. That's one. But then when I talk about digital world, it's how do we incorporate and ensure, to your point, the needs, the original requirement is what's implemented at the end, right? Mm-hmm. So you have business saying, you know, it should do this, X, Y, Z. What I mean is this could be supported often by systems. And it doesn't have to be our own automation tool. It could be SAP. It could be Oracle, Salesforce. It doesn't really matter the underlying application. There is a lot of configuration management or development that is required to deploy these things correctly as per your processes and business rules. Meaning not only the rules of the flow, but at the form level, show, you know, this field if then type thing. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in our tool to support this whole concept, we have dedicated areas for capturing requirements. This is the, I would like it to do X, Y, Z per task. So you can capture all your system recs. It syncs with tools like Jira. So this needs to go through the tech. So you talk about like, how can I ensure that it's actually implemented correctly afterwards to meet my need? Well, our system not only generates epics and stories and tasks inside of Jira, but if they stay in sync, because the reality is there are system limitations that have goalposts that could you do anything and everything? Sure, but no one has time to do everything custom, right? You got to leverage tools that are out there and work within the goalposts. And sometimes it's okay to cut a corner, to not have it exactly how you would want it, because that takes a year, this takes a day. So these decisions end up happening behind the scenes. And the problem is business is often out of the loop because it has an evolution from what we said to what actually how it was implemented and then back to me in the business to know what changed over this life cycle through the agile mode. So the tool stays in sync. which brings a whole new value to IT because they can see the process map, meaning I know the path in this specific way. I have to do this, implement XYZ, which is hard for them because they know they have a requirement. They don't know exactly where and when. Mm-hmm. And then vice versa for business is I was notified every time there was a change or we couldn't do something, the final output. And I have now the UAT. So for user acceptance tests, we have the final output of what's expected, the final flow, and all the final requirements of that were actually implemented. So then we do our UAT off of the reality. And then that leads into our last step, which we talked about earlier. This then translates into our procedural documentation and training. So it's that full life cycle. It's not just about doing process mapping. It's about how does this embed in terms of delivering real value to the business and how it facilitates that. So that's another example of our innovation around integration with real systems being used for automation and incorporating process as core to bringing value to the program versus a tool for just saying rigor.
Yeah, well, I was not aware of all these features. That's super interesting. Thank you very much for these insights there. With regards to rethinking processes to get to more human-centric BPM, is there anything else we have missed our listeners should know about EPC?
The only thing I would also say is when you think of process in today's world where we are, don't just think of a process map. It's not enough. Nowadays, with our technology that we have available to us, to me, process is risk, is objectives, is capabilities, is regulation. When I say is, the reason why I'm saying that is you can't improve a process or change a process or automate a process without understanding all these aspects. Because if it's not aligned with an objective or a strategy, then why are we doing it? If it's a capability, how are we delivering on capabilities? Oh, we're delivering our products mobile, but we have no mobile testing processes. We have no mobile testing applications. So the fact of a company in today's day and age thinking that these can be managed independently, in my opinion, it's core to process because you may say, hey, if I remove this task, I improve efficiency by 50%. Fantastic. Great. You did all this work. Guess what? That's a key control. And it's for this compliance reason. And we can't. So the reality is we need to share. You get my point is this is tied with a regulatory requirement, meaning you have to take that into consideration when you're thinking of your to-be state. It doesn't mean we can't evolve. It means we have to adhere to this and then implement something that meets the criteria. But you need to know that.
Yeah.
You get my point? So that's all I would say is that it's core to process. It's not a different project and program. It's not.
Yeah.
It needs to live together.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's true. Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Then let's have a look into the future. And I would love to know what trends do you see developing in the market of BPM tools right now that are coming up for the next years?
I definitely see the convergence of topics I already mentioned that I actually just said, like convergence of all these different called GRC, QMS, BPM, EA, all these acronyms really are converging more and more. And to me, that all falls under the concept of digital twin. And that's DTO, digital twin organization. That's where people should be targeting. So having truly a blue digital blueprint of all of their business artifacts. So that's one thing. The second thing is where we're headed and where we see things going. When you're talking about coursers in the automation world, like RPA and in the more and more in terms of using AI for whether it be for analysis or automation, we're using it for things like our parsing. We're using it for things like mining or for suggestive impact, being understanding what could be impacted when we make a change. So it's not just about what is impacted. So AI will play a bigger role. That's the reality. Because step one is getting out of docs, getting into data. Step two is what can we do with this data? So that's the cool part is we're at that stage now is what can we do with it and giving more value to business so then to see what can be done with the data. And then providing that fragmented data on demand. So this is where Google Glass, you know, if you're in a lab where you could do lookups real time and using things like Alexa and voice or Google Home, where I can say, how do I do this? And it provides a specific process procedure at real time to the users. So call it the 4.0 and how that translates into the world, but understanding that people's maturity is rather low still. So how do we give them tools to get to a 4.0 when we're talking about process? That's really where I say we are and where we're headed. And the reality, as I could say, is people need to start somewhere. That's they'll never get anywhere.
Right? Yeah, so true. Okay, and with regards to EPC, what is on your roadmap for the further development of the tool?
Yeah, so I would say we break up our roadmap into like four core buckets. Every new release, we try to do this on purpose, is to the point of what I was just mentioning, balancing act between innovation and reality. So we would love to just focus just on the innovation side because it's fun, right? But the problem is the companies aren't there yet. So a lot of it is flashy. A lot of it is hype cycle type stuff at times, I feel. Mm-hmm. And will they actually use this, right? So we do bucket A, innovation, but trying to really tie it with things that they can bring value today and then bring them to a point of tomorrow. The second is, is that what they really need exactly, with and that they're not even asking for, but they don't know. You need this. Our experience knows that. Of course, the third is what they're asking for. That's more of we're using it and what we would like. And then the final is usability. So never giving up on depth and functionality for usability, because there's always that trade-off. So how can you support both? We are investing very heavily in the tech stack and have been and continue to. So it is our bread and butter, is the life of this solution. And what the types of things you could see coming is really one I mentioned earlier. We're going to be giving it another, call it end user facelift in terms of further reach. Other things like further integration into their real worlds. Talked about Teams integration. We also have Office integration, opening up in a document, a doc in Office directly, editing views. So Jira, Azure, real products that they use today, and incorporating those into our repository. And finally, expect to see things that I was talking about, meaning the next generation of our parser technology. It's really cool what it's going to able to do already, but what it will be able to do. Some of the exciting things of like image recognition and other AI-driven tool set. But overall, our core buyer hasn't changed. We're not planning to do a major shift in terms of this, the requirements we're trying to achieve. We're just trying to limit the level of effort for a company to use and manage and maintain such a system and really maximize adoption.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. Thank you for the insights there. And now the question many people are asking for sure, what is the price? So first, what is the pricing model? And then I would be interested to know, like imagine a company with about 1,000 employees, what would be the rough price there? And for a startup, like just with 50 employees, what do I have to pay if I want to use EPC? Just the core features for mapping processes, accessing these processes we talked about.
Yeah, exactly. To your point, where it gets a bit complicated is all the different modules that can be added on a la carte over time. So you don't need to buy them all up front. However, when you go our site licensing route, it incorporates all these modules. So it is a nice option that covers the entire corporation for all their licensing needs now and in the future, with that concept of what I talked about, ensuring that we bring everyone together, because that's where I'll see the biggest adoption. But to give you rough numbers, of course, we have that traditional licensing type of power user versus end user access, and it's SaaS. We do offer on-prem as well, but you know, I'd say 90% of our customers are using it in SaaS. And you're looking at, to your point, if it's up around 1,000 users, probably around less than the cost of one employee. That's what I say to you. So let's say it's a 50K for one tool where all your other 1,000 employees have a tool for accessing all their knowledge, sharing, improving, collaborating, compliance programs, your audit, your training, your, I could go on and on for all the value for less than the cost of a single employee. That's how you have to look at it per year, if you look at it that way. And if you're only 50, you're looking at maybe 5K, you know, same thing. Mm-hmm. It's a drop in the bucket of the actual cost in terms of the time saving.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying it's sad often, I can say, that companies will often move forward based on one program. And they get the funding just based on that one program, that one value, mm-hmm. right? But it's crazy because it's like, you know, all the other value that you're getting out of such an initiative and where you can be gaining benefits, and it's a small cost in reality versus your cost of just your employees, amount of time savings. Yep. It's not a big investment, and this is often, opinion.
Yeah, that's true. But it's often hard to calculate, to find out the benefits. How can I quantify the benefits there?
Just the ROI, correct.
Have a calculate. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So now we know a lot about the tool. We know about the price. Where can I learn more about the tool? Can I test it? Is there something special you can offer to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you can test it directly through our site. There is a sign up for trial access. It'll create your account directly. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a community site available, which is community.interfacing.com, which beyond actually just call it the tool, you have not only videos around solution, but you actually have a free training and certification program. So those of you that want to learn more about BPM and BPMN, we have an entire online certification course that brings you through every step of the notation methodologies, and then with online exams, and both in terms of multiple choice as well as building your own process within our application, that people will actually go in and review the work that you do, give you mm-hmm. feedback. So this is something I think your listeners can benefit from. It's 100% free. There's no cost. There's no hidden costs. And you will at the end with a pass. And of course, if you don't pass, there's opportunities to redo the test, redo the exam, that work. You will get a certification that you can put on your LinkedIn that you're BPMN 2.0 certified. I think it's a good opportunity for your people to learn more and without any overhead.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, is this training part you just mentioned realized based on your application? Are you using your own application for these trainings?
Or? Yes. Yes. So the cool. Absolutely. And they do the exam directly in the tool. So,
yeah.
Right. So that's the idea, that they actually go in and actually build stuff and didn't know anything at the start about BPMN. And by the end, they only have use cases. So it's just as if you run a workshop or interview someone, mm-hmm. you have a scenario base and they go ahead, and we have students doing these, and we have universities where we're working with that are actually using it within their courses. Actually, I have a coming out. Could give a bit of insight. University in Romania just did a testimonial. She's been in the last couple of years. It's fully incorporated in her course. So something that you can leverage for anyone out there who wants to learn more on BPM and BPMN. And I'll be honest, I think the fact that process is at the core of a management, it's valuable to any business or any person. Even if you're not, it's not your role to, you know, do process improvement, it doesn't matter. Understanding process and such concepts and methodologies is invaluable. It's like project management. It's an error topic that everyone should know and understand, because you'll be better at your work, task management.
Yeah, these are already great final words, I would say, because we already landed our episode here. But before we leave the aircraft, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, just to summarize, as I mentioned earlier, number one, start. Now, I gave you a bit of longevity of me being in here 20 years. The same companies 20 years ago said we're too immature are still saying it today. Right? So some things don't change is my point. So start. The worst thing you can do is not starting. And I've seen those that are successful 5 years ago said, oh, we're so immature. And now it's incredible where they're at. And then they push you as an innovation and vendor to the limit, because they're there. So it's, how can I say? I can say it's a lifestyle change, not a diet. And if you treat this as a diet, 3 month type project instead of a program, you're going to fail. Think 3 years, 5 years. Where do we want to be? and having that vision for your organization will change the culture drastically. Don't get hung up on the hype cycles. Those come and go every 2 years. I've seen them. Reality is what do you need? What are you going to use? And where do you want to be? Don't throw away what work you've done in the past. It's invaluable. Your business doesn't drastically fully change overnight. Even if it's 2 years old, you're still in the same line of business. Unless you completely went from becoming a telco to a pharmacy, information is invaluable. Someone did a lot of work. Leverage it. Work from there. You get my point? Don't start at zero, because I've seen too many companies hiring consulting companies that every 2 years they redocument, restart everything at scratch. It's a big mistake. You have tons of great information there. Start there and improve on it. And the last thing I could say is don't dive directly into automation. It's a mistake. It doesn't matter if you automate in Artful or in any other system. Do proper requirements assessment in terms of understanding, blueprinting what you're actually doing and capturing your 2B of what you want to be doing and getting the feedback from the people. They're invaluable, 100%. But they go too quick and they don't understand the costly reworks associated with making changes in systems, how that requires retesting, how that causes problems in rollout, lack of adoption, retrainings. Let's just say knowing the digital world where we are, take the time. I'm not saying take 2 years, take 2 weeks at times, to be honest. Like, just take a step back, understand what you're doing, then take a step forward. It'll help you run afterwards if you crawl at first. So that would be the best lessons learned, I could say.
Yeah, nothing to add. Cool. Just a final question. How would you describe our flight experience with just 3 words?
I would say, well, first of all, I'd like to thank you. And if I had to summarize in 3 words, I'd say well-structured, efficient, and engaging.
Great. It was definitely inspiring, I would say. And great to talk to you, Scott. I'm looking forward for other opportunities to interact with you in the future. So thank you so much. Have a great day and bye-bye.
Later. Thanks, Marco.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Wow, that was a load of information, Or. But let's quickly recap. So what stays in my mind is first that interfacing or EPC has this object-oriented approach to manage data, not documents. So all the different objects have their own life cycle, like the KPIs, the risk, the roles, and so on. That's something which I find super interesting to see, and I saw it already in the application. Then that they have these alternative ways of modeling. So the data parser, which Scott mentioned, is super interesting to explore. And also there, I already had the chance to see how this works. So there you can really somehow import documents like SOPs, or you're using a template for modeling, and then the parser creates automatically a process model out of this document. So therefore you have to mark special areas in the document and so on. And then it parses the document. That's cool feature. Also, this quick form for mapping of processes where you go step by step through the process and just type it in to create the process model. That's an interesting approach. And last but not least, to have these different views for different users. So different ways to present the process to the audience. That's really fascinating to see. By clicking on the options, how the representation of a process model then changes. And they are also using a way of simplified BPMN notation, which is then still aligned with BPMN 2.0 in the background, just to reduce complexity and increase user acceptance. So you definitely should have a look at it. I'll put the links into the show notes as well. Cool. Yeah, to give you an outlook, there are more tool interviews on my search to find a human-centric BPM tool coming up. Still not finished. A long waiting list, I would say. But I'll try to mix the tool interviews with interviews with method experts from other areas, also from the BPM environment. So there is for sure still an interview with a process mining expert on my list, and this is coming. I promise that. So a lot of things on the list for 2023. So have a good start, and thank you very much for listening to this episode. Have a great day. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Next level. Thank you for listening.
Okay, before you're leaving, I would like to really thank you for listening to this episode. And if you haven't listened to the last episode, to episode 21, with all the BPM topics for 2023, which was the one with the most downloads ever of the New Process Podcast, and then I would recommend to definitely switch back to episode 21 and listen to that. And it would be super cool if you share it with one of your BPM contacts to provide them with inspirations to rethink processes as well. So thank you very much and bye-bye.